SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, friends, and welcome in to the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast. May 22nd. We are almost out of the second month, essentially 2 months of the season. And
Week
I am 68, Chris Welsh.
Right?
That's right. Yeah. I am Welsh. That is Bogman. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. Bogman is currently playing a role. He is currently Kevin McAllister in Home Alone because you got a house to yourself. When's the party?
Never mind.
What?
Can't say that thing.
It was gonna rhyme with schmookers and end with schmlo.
You know me so well.
I know so. Exactly what you were gonna say and or do potentially. So Bogman is living the good life as a free man right now. He's got slick back hair. Looks like he's got a lady of the night coming over shortly. Like you're gonna be living a happy life here, right?
Hey, when in Rome. Do as the Romans do.
When in Rome. So. Lots and lots of baseball to cover. Lots of stuff and things. We have got stats. We have got some differences from April to May. We're going to be looking at average ERA and a whole bunch more. Thank you guys for hanging out with us. You guys want to check us out, come over to InThisLeague.com on the Patreon. You can sign up. Get in. We got a brand new captain. A couple of LTs coming in the mid-month, which we'd love to see. You guys can join up. Be a part of the GroupMe rooms, have access to us, the incredible community. We've got ranks. We got lots of different sheets. It is officially football season in Bogman's world as well. So come on over because it is a life force. You are like, you're like helping the heart beat. What would the blood cells? What flows? It's just blood, right? Just flows into
blood?
The heart.
Yeah, blood just, yeah, flows blood. Through the body, right? Yeah, yeah, good
so
job.
Each one of you is a blood cell.
You're the backbone. Like a good analogy. How about that? The backbone of ITL right there.
Okay, bones. Bones are better than organs in this analogy state, I think, right?
That's all I can think about. So
bones, I bet you can. You're home alone there, buddy. Hey,
there we go.
Bogman's going to Bone Town. All right, there we go. I love it. All right, let's get into some stuff and things. You guys want, you can check out. I got the new trade video coming out over on the Fantasy Pros. If you guys want to check that out, I actually did a different style. And dude, every fucking week, man, every week I do like something significant happens between me doing a video and it releasing. Like I got to figure out how to like do these videos and then they immediately get out. Except Fantasy Pros does a good job with like all their editing and whatnot. But like last week, I'm like, hey, we got to buy Nolan Arenado. And then in the 48 hours between, he hit like 13 homers and everyone knew it. And then this week, one of them was, actually, sometimes I have a formula you guys will kind of hear on them where it's like, you know, hey, good player who has bad stats is kind of a buy and blah, blah, blah. But this was one of those where I took a guy who hasn't been performing well. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to also sell him. And it was Julio Urias. And then Urias goes on the IL. So it's like, oh, that doesn't matter anymore. So, but I do present at the end, Boggs, just letting you know if you want to go and check it out at some point. At the end of the video, I present the case without an answer of trade for, trade away, because that's what the game is on the video. It's do we trade for this guy or trade away this guy? And then I'll give you what my take is. The last one I gave no answer to.
Oh, Adolis my God. Garcia. Gray area. I don't Adolis. Like it. Welsh, tell me what to do so I can be mad at you.
But I told
to
people
the
in the
thing.
Comments. I told people to go into the comments and it was Adolis Garcia. So what do you think those comments are going to look like? I said, comment with, do you think you should trade for or trade away Adolis Garcia? What do you think?
I think most people are trading away Adolis.
Do you think so?
The hip profile.
We had a fun text from Spore. I think like 40,
not even 48 hours. Less than 24 hours after he said that dude hit two tonight. Of course. And no. Did you see what I replied with? Just Kermit sipping the tea.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. Bogman was having a little bit of celebration time as you know, we're on there and Spore's like doubling down. And I'm like, well, you know, he is hitting sliders even better. And they're trying to change up and he keeps improving. I'm like, I'm a little indifferent. And then he goes out and he continues to be like the best player in baseball.
He hit one on Friday too, I think. So, I mean, just he's crazy. Outstanding.
I should probably put him on the throwing him on the home run board in honor of you.
Yeah.
When I'm out.
Yeah, I think
that,
you should.
You have that one day next week. You'd be filling in for me, I think, on Fantasy Pros. Remember we talked about that?
And I mean, I'm sure we did. I don't remember it, but I'll be there. So this is why when you tell me something a month out, I said, just remind me. So not until right now. So yeah, no, I didn't.
Well, at least it wasn't like, hey, remember tomorrow when you're filling in for me?
You better not.
I wouldn't do that.
If you want me to show up, don't do that. So
I wouldn't do that. But you should probably, in honor of that, whoever Adolis is going up against, you should do. That's what you should do. In the episode, we're going to we'll just go through lots of different stuff. We got some rookies that are starting up, some FAB implications, which, I guess we could just start with FAB. There wasn't a ton in my NFBC league, but I did have the ability to pick up one. And we actually can just talk about it right at the front. It wasn't even going to be our top thing, but there were a couple guys that were out there. It was Matt McClain, Matthew Liberatore, and Gavin Stone. And I was able to get Gavin Stone. And I think I overpaid a little bit because I went 100 because I had been missing every single pitcher. And the next bid was 54. And then Liberatore went for 90. And Matt McClain was available. He went for 168. The other one that was floating out there that I think might have been a little too late for everybody to jump in on is the Dodgers are calling up Bobby Miller. So Bobby Miller is going to be starting on Tuesday, and Gavin Stone is starting today as we're recording this. So I don't even know if you guys will get that. Gavin Stone's first appearance, not great with the Dodgers. He got hit up. That. Command was everywhere. That changeup couldn't stay in the zone. He got a little bit better in the minors. And then Bobby Miller.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Somebody royally forked up. Somebody forked up. Why can't I say fork?
If you're trying to curse, you can't hear.
Full shirt.
Holy mother forking shirt boss.
11 homers, 9 stolen bases, 34 RBI, 27 runs with a .318 batting average. This is going into Monday. This player with a 90 percentile max exit velocity and expected batting average, 94 percentile X WOBA, X slug, top 3% of the league. All those big numbers I told you, but he's a platoon player. It's Josh Lowe. Josh Lowe, whom multiple, like I said, he was a big chatter piece on Sunday, Boggs, of I think it was Bloomfield had this tweet, and it's such a fun tweet, and it's so cool that it keeps working out, where he said, every year there's I think it was 12 or 15 round player that puts up first round value. Every year there's one of these guys. Who is it this year? This is preseason. And, most people are talking, and Josh Lowe seems to be that player. 11 homers, 9 stolen bases, a .318 batting average. But Boggs, I was talking about this with Joe today, 118 of 132 at-bats are against righties. Josh Lowe has a total of 14 at-bats through May against lefties. He is a righty platoon, up against righty platoon bat, and he dominates, hitting .322. Can Josh Lowe, if the Rays continue him as a platoon player at this rate, they're putting him in the best position to succeed. He'll have a lower output of at bats if this is kind of the case, of course, though he might walk himself into some more. But at what level can a hard platoon player succeed? As, let's say, can he be a top 3-round fantasy by the end of the year? He's already a first round. He's performing at first round talent right now. Can he be a top 3-round platooning through the rest of the year?
No, not as a platoon player. I don't think so. Even when you're on the strong side of the platoon, meaning you're the lefty that hits against righties, right? Because most pitchers are right-handed. I think you have a better shot at it. Of course, you're going to have way more at-bats, obviously, being the lefty hitting against righties. But, because as good as he's been, you have another, you have a 10-day streak of bad, and now you're right back down to average because you're not getting those at-bats. Now, if you work your way into being an everyday player because your side of the platoon is so strong that they just say, all right, well, let's see what he's got against lefties, right? Let's just put him in there against him full time. I mean, right now, like you said, he only has 17 plate appearances, 14 at-bats against lefties. He's still hitting .286 against them. So, it's something that could happen, but he can't. I don't believe he could be a top 3-round player at the end of the year only hitting against righties. I don't think his numbers will work out to be good enough.
He's going to be one of the most fun cases to look back on in like two more months, like to really see what, because you can't deny what he's done in the first 2 months. It's awesome. An interesting thing that's happened is last year, he wasn't particularly great against fastballs, but this year pitchers have just decided to throw him less fastballs. He's seeing an increase of off speed and a tiny little increase on breaking. But that's what he's destroying this year. He's destroying breaking and off-speed pitches, 378, 394, respectively. He's hitting only 222 against fastballs. But he has a 257 expected batting average against fastballs, which is much better. Another interesting fact is, I'm not looking at the leaderboard of this, but just by virtue of history of this, I could probably tell this is one of the biggest. He has essentially a full 2-homer decrease in his expected home run and his average, his expected home run total were 11 and the expected number is closer to 9. That it's not like a sticky stat or anything like that. It doesn't necessarily tell you a whole lot, but it might vibe a little bit with like an almost 350 BABIP, which seems a little high, but at the same time, man, he's always made some pretty hard contact. He's cut his strikeout rate by an insanely hardcore degree, and he's hitting the ball at just such a monstrous clip, 15% barrel rate compared to 5 last year. His max EV is up at 113, yet his average is actually lower than last year, which is kind of weird. So he's making more timely, impactful hits than it is like across the board. So I think one thing he's going to do is, I just don't think this will be platoon. I think this is going to be a situation right where he's going to come off the platoon, which I also think is going to lead to him coming back down. But when it's all said and done, it's going to be really hard for Josh Lowe to not put up not only a 2020 season, but maybe a 25-25 season at this point. Projections on the bat, though, the bat X essentially says he's a 2020 guy rest of year. Massive regression. They have him batting .236 rest of season compared to his .318. So what that would tell you is at the end of the year, Lowe will look great. Lowe will probably have a .260, .270 batting average, .2020. He's got high run and RBI numbers. He'll probably be in the 80s. He's actually going to look like a top 3-round player by the end of the year. But where the rest of the season goes might be pointing you to the peak sell time on him, that you're going to get lower returns for the rest of the year. But
this,
I think,
make him an everyday player, I feel like, because looking like,
but that's going to lead to some of those regressiony type of numbers when he starts to go up against more lefties. He's going to come back down,
right? No, I understand, but like I said, he's hitting .286 against lefties right now. Once again, only 14 at bats. I get it, but I mean, his BABIP isn't crazy. It's high. It's .348, but he's, just looking at his minor league numbers in 80 games of AAA, his BABIP was .460. That's not sustainable. But AAA the year before is .361. It was .316, .318, .369, .333, .338. In his, going back to 2016 when he was drafted. So, he's a little bit higher in BABIP than he is in the lower levels. And he's crushing right now. So, just give him everyday playing time and see if he can figure it out against lefties. And if he can't, you can always go back to platooning him, but he's crushing it. So let him crush it.
You want to know something? I actually kind of think I wouldn't mind if it stayed like this. Like, I don't know if I need, like, you're fine with
Ray,
them every
so
day.
They're more likely to do it. And
I
they
think
have
it
a
might
lot
be okay. Yeah, just because, like, you can get into, if he starts getting in his head and you start, you do get slumpy, and then maybe they want more rest and they try out more guys, it leads to worse opportunities.
You
put him in the best position,
though, for playing great, don't you?
Yeah, I agree with that. But, like, do you think he is in the dead zone of, like, does his value of what you could, let's say you assume he's going to hit, like, let's not even say the worst case scenario. Bad X is like 230 something. Let's say he hits 250. It's 250, power numbers come back down, everything kind of comes down, and you've gotten the best out of him. And you're like, I want to take advantage of him right now. This guy who's putting up first round talent, people are starting to talk about him, blah, blah, blah. Do you think the return of what you could get for Josh Lowe right now is worth jumping off the train?
It's going to get.
But okay, but that, I don't disagree with that. But what I'm saying is, do you think how he's performed, you can
get
the proper return?
If he's good for a month, you can get more.
Do you think you can get the proper return for what he's put up?
Nope.
Because I think that's ultimately always the problem. Because I saw so much discourse this weekend, too, about trades. People talking about, like, oh, everyone says trade, sell high, but you can't even sell high. And that's a misnomer and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, yeah, everybody does know the same stuff. But it's like trading is an art. And we're all just talking about that. Like, there are underlying things that everybody knows, like, many of us were on the whole Shane Bieber thing, and that looks silly right now, but everyone has the same information. So, like, selling high in a guy is tougher in general, but there is an art to swinging trades. And I think these kind of dead zone-y type of players, these are the most difficult, and speak to the community of what you really can take advantage of is trading for or away a guy like this and what side pays off.
Right. And I also think in trades, it's like, You have to know what's believable and what's not. Like, you know, Bloomfield said in his tweet, you know, there's a guy.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo!
All night!
That is after rounds 12 through 15 that puts up first round numbers every single year. Maybe that's Josh Lowe. But I would say there are way more guys that perform well through April and May and completely fall off in the second half, or, you know, the other two-thirds of the season, that we never think about again. And I like Josh Lowe. I have him rostered on a couple teams. I play him when he's in there because, like you said, he's crushing when he's in there. So I like him, but I would not be surprised if he was traded for, you know, or I would not be surprised if he reverts back and it just becomes a normal guy the rest of the season. We don't talk about him again, right? Like, that would not shock me at all. That would be less surprising to me than him retaining his value, even as a platoon player right now, and getting drafted in the top three or four rounds next year. I don't think that's realistic. So right now, you can trade for maybe a pitcher that you shouldn't get. You know, maybe it's Luis Severino. You know what I mean? A guy that held way more value, even hurt, coming into the season than Josh Lowe did. I think that's kind of the range that you're looking at. So you're selling high, but you're selling high based off of what you paid for him. So you're not going to get a guy that went in the top three or four rounds. You're going to get a guy that went a little bit higher than him in the draft, 5-6 rounds maybe. But someone that is higher than him coming in, and that is selling high, because you can't, unless he does a full season of this. I mean, Adolis Garcia was still going in the third round, you know, after 2 years of being great, but his profile was bad, so people don't like him. You know what I mean? So it's all subjective to your league and how trades work, and if people even do trades. You know, some leagues are pretty non-existent when it comes to trades. But you have to have a realistic expectation. You're not trading Josh Lowe for Nolan Arenado. It's not happening. You're not trading him for Manny Machado.
Well, you know what an interesting one is, and I talked about him on my trade video that's coming up, and I wonder, I'm tempted to put a poll out, but I am also not in the mood for snark today. What side would you want? Yeah,
put it out on another day when you're in the mood for snark.
Josh
whatever
Lowe,
day that is.
Or yeah, that's a good point. Josh Lowe or Kyle Schwarber. Schwarber does have 11 homers, but he's hitting like under 200. He's hit 125 in May. He has, but he has the lowest BABIP in all of baseball. Could you, would you trade your Josh Lowe to get Kyle Schwarber?
I mean, you could. Yeah, I would in some cases.
What do you think that would look like? What do you think that poll would look like?
I think it would look, I think it would be overwhelmingly in Kyle Schwarber's favor.
Do you think so?
I do.
So I shouldn't do the poll?
You can. Maybe I'm wrong. Look, I've been wrong about polls before. I'm usually pretty good at them. But
yeah, you've been pretty good about these. Like, who would you rather have?
I think it's going to be overwhelming. Like 70%.
I feel like I feel like I should give some context.
Just don't give context. Don't bait the witness. You terrible lawyer.
Well, no, I just get thrown out. Some facts here.
Just put them in. Just put average homers and RBI or something. Don't say, would you trade Josh Lowe for Schwarber,
I won't.
Though Kyle Schwarber is hitting one, blah, blah, blah. Just put their stats in there.
No, it wouldn't be
And
that.
Maybe let's look at NFBC and see, this is where the shows go long, by the way. Yeah, but I want to look at NFBC ADP just to see where Schwarber was going before the season started versus where Josh Lowe was going. And maybe you can add that context in there as well. Let's go. What do we want to do? Like, just march on for Schwarber and these guys here? Just
like right before. Yeah, I'm going to say Schwarber was probably third, fourth round, and Josh Lowe was probably post 200.
Okay. Let's see. Two, four.
All right. So Schwarber. This is where the shows were both.
This is why it goes long, because we're both like, you know, doing stuff in the background is something we didn't prep for, but this is a good question. I like this. So 43 overall was where Schwarber went. So at the end of the third round in a 15 man, and then Josh Lowe went at 427. So almost 400 spots lower. And that's ultimately why I think it'll be Schwarber's, but Schwarber's one of those Adolis Garcia, bad bat profile guy. So he could sink like a stone when he's going bad. So it could be closer to 50-50, but I still think it's going to be 70% Schwarber.
Okay, so I just put average homer stolen bases. Was there another stat you wanted?
Nope, that's good.
Okay, because we can give a flavor to Schwarber. He has the league's lowest BABIP.
We don't need to lead in the witness. Just give him bottom line numbers.
Okay, so average homer stolen bases.
Yes.
Okay. Who'd you rather have standard rest of season? I'll just do a day. Why not? And we'll tweet this out. So what's your guess before I tweet it out? That you
70-30 Schwarber.
Okay. I think it's going to go 55-45 Josh Lowe.
Okay.
So I'm putting it out right now. All right, there we go. So we'll check in on it in just a tiny bit. Hit send now. Bam, we'll do that. And we'll see where that goes. I just thought it was an interesting conversation in how he's been, how the Rays have utilized him. And if they continue this, you know, you're creating these great players that dominate on their specific spots. I mean, Yandy Diaz, I don't know if Yandy was actually used in this in prior years, but, you know, the slow roll of letting guys build confidence and you know, play around these veterans and play these key roles. It's just something so, so unique about the Rays. I mean, the Rays destroy pitchers. They just break them in half. They're like,
record in the league right now.
Little kids with Legos. They're just like,
I mean, that's why you don't do it too. Now it's, you know, a lot like we talked about with Gunnar Henderson. He's playing great defense. So if it ain't broke, don't fix it. We're still winning games, even though he's batting terribly. You know, Josh Lowe is working right now. We have the best record in baseball. It ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, so when they start losing some games, going a losing streak, whatever, then maybe we start, you know, it's the same thing. It's my same scene from Step Brothers that I referenced. It's like everything's all great, then there's a fart, and now you're like, yeah, now the suits kind of seem effed up, right? That's where you're gonna be.
Now the fart kind of seems kind of
That's where you're gonna be. Anything bad happens, that's gonna be what Josh Lowe is. People are gonna be like, well, why were you trading Josh Lowe for Kyle Schwarber, you idiot? Now he's Schwarber's hit 15 bombs this month, you know what I mean? So
I'm Kyle Schwarber. We're here to F stuff up. All right. Top performers. You guys can get your take. I'm curious what you guys think of Josh Lowe. I'd actually like to see him kind of stay in the platoon and keep dominating, but you never know. You know, maybe he's ready for the big time and we'll see where it goes. Last week's top performers in hits, Jaimer Candelario. I always say Jaimer. Jaimer Candelario.
Jaimer.
I hate his name, by the way.
The Nationals just call him Jammer.
I've heard him say I don't even know what I've heard anymore.
I call him Candy. Candelario. Candy.
It looks like you need to put some little
first name is too weird, last name's too long. Just call him Candy.
I used to be like, it's Jammer Candelario, and then they're just like, it's Jammer.
Yeah, is that like Yavid Best?
Yeah, like Yavid Best. It looks like you need to put some stuff on it, but you don't. He's actually been quietly very, very good. Someone actually asked us about somewhere had tweeted about Candelario and like, hey, is the reason no one talking about him because there really is nothing there? I think it's the Nationals in general are kind of it's a good little dystopian type of team, but he is quietly putting up some stats. He's beyond NL only. Deeper leagues, he's fun. He's hitting 270. He's got 6 homers. Hardest, you know, I guess he's hitting a ball harder than he ever had or he has since last year, but he's striking out less than he ever has, which is a big positive. Barreling is lower though, and there's not enough guys to run in. So
he's never hit 20 homers, right? He's never stole more than 3 bases. He's had over 50 RBI 2 times in his career, over 50 runs 2 times in his career. And he's played since 2016. That's why nobody talks about him, is because, you know, nobody thinks that this is very believable, but he is. He's been, especially this week specifically, in that series against who are they playing? Washington? They're playing somebody bad.
Tigers?
Yeah. It was somebody rough. I think it was Detroit. You're right. Yeah. So, you know, he crushed them this weekend, and he's been good the whole year. So let's see if he keeps it up. But I mean, this is probably less believable than Josh Lowe.
100% less than Josh Lowe. But again, I think he's like a 15 team corner infield option, especially with injuries that are going on. 12, not he had 16 hits over last week. 12 hits came from Freeman and Tommy Edman, and 11 hits came from Arenado, Gorman, Judge, Simeon, and Lane Thomas. So actually, a couple Nationals in there. The home run market came from Aaron Judge and Christopher Morel. Chris Morel had like 8 home runs.
We have to call him Christopher because I have noticed like it was Chris for a while, but now everyone is calling him Christopher. So,
you know, it's really funny that you say that because as a Christopher myself, mm-hmm. when we're talking about him on Fantasy Pros today, I kind of want to know if he likes it. You know what? I actually can get this answer. My friend Dennis Sidler is doing a signing with him on Monday, and maybe we can get some Chris Morel stuff.
You know what? Just show up. And say, hey,
well, that one's in Chicago.
Like Chris,
so.
You like, well, just show up anyway. Like, oh, okay. Chris, do you like Christopher? Do you like Topher? Should we call you C-Man? I mean, what do you want?
I'm going
to
ask him because I feel like I can talk rightfully about this as a Christopher. I don't like Christopher. I think Christopher is condescending. If you say Christopher, you're talking down to me or you're trying to talk. Either way, you're like trying to control me. Christopher is a controlling word. I'm not going to have that.
You know what? I feel like that just when people say my name, I feel like they're just trying to get a hold of you, like get your attention. That's what
I don't want this American controlled Christopher name. I want Brett. Chris.
Right. We're Chris.
Yeah. So I feel like he might feel the same way, but he just doesn't want to correct anybody. So maybe we can get to the bottom we can
call
get rid of
Chris
the,
again, Chris.
Yeah. I think we can get to the bottom of this, but I feel like he doesn't like that. And if he does, then I don't know. He probably wants to go, but he probably wouldn't mind going by Topher either. But I just don't think that's it. I mean, you know, it's like our friend who was Dave, and then he's like, I'm David now. Like, yeah. I would never
you're
like,
not
I'm Christopher now.
Yeah. You aren't. You're Dave. We had a Robbie and went to Robert also. Robert. And now you're Robbie. I'm sorry, bud.
You mean politics or not, but you're going to be Robbie.
You're going to be Robbie to me.
You're
forever,
Robert to your constituents, but you're the dickhole we knew at 13 years
right.
old.
Yeah,
so you're
Robbie
to us. So sorry, buddy. That's why he doesn't talk to us anymore. 4 homers went to Alonzo, Adolis, and Gorman. Gorman been so good. And a litany of guys with 3 homers on the run front.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love it.
In this league.
Yeah, I remember that.
Chris Morel, again, with 10. He has been awesome. Huge strikeout numbers of 37%. DeJong and Adolis. I believe Paul DeJong had a three. Didn't he have a three homer game? Is it one game or was it just over?
I mean, the whole Cardinals lineup has been hitting. They put up 18 runs twice on the Dodgers or whatever. So.
Well, he put up 9 runs, as did Adolis. We had Acuna, Edmund, Simeon, Lane, Thomas with 8 runs. Goldie, Judge, and Kelnick had 7 last week. On the RBI front, Gorman and Judge. Look up Gorman for a second. One thing I feel really good about was early on, people were like asking about, I was very much like, hold Gorman, stick with Gorman. Me and Joe were kind of going back and forth about that. 302 batting average with 13 homers, 3 stolen bases, a 391 OBP. Welsh.
Gorman or Josh Lowe rest of the season?
Ooh, it's such a good question. I think I'm going to go with Gorman.
I'm going to go with the non-platoon player. Give me Gorman.
I kind of wish I'd put that out on a tweet. At the end of this, we'll look at the results. I've looked at the results a couple times.
I saw like a couple times. Yeah,
it's done some swinging. That's a real, oh man, that would be such a good one. I wish I could do that now. Gorman or Josh Lowe is so good. I think I would go with Gorman though. 10 RBI went to Alonso, 8 RBI went to Arenado, Freeman, Morel, and Seager. And on the stolen base front, Story Ruiz is just not getting caught. My take in the offseason wasn't that like Corbin Carroll, because he's the fastest, he has to lead the league. It was that Story wants to run. I never thought Story would hit to the level to be able to be continuously on base to steal. But he's just proven that wrong. He's aggressive on the base paths right now.
Do you remember who my stolen base leader was before the season started?
Was it Story?
It was Story Ruiz, because he's hitting leadoff for the A's, and they just, they need to produce runs. He needs to steal bases.
I just didn't think he would hit. That's my problem. I didn't think he was going to hit, I didn't think that. I thought that was
going to that's fair.
It's like the Jorge Mateo type of thing, where it's like, if I don't think you're going to hit at that level, even if you're aggressive and you can steal, maybe he steals 30, but the guy who's hitting, 290 and is on base all the time on a winning team, he can continue running. Now, Corbin Carroll did have 3 stolen bases this weekend, and I believe he's now up to 12 or 13, but Story's running away with this. He had 6 this weekend. Caballero,
22, right?
Yeah, Carroll, Edmund, Josh Lowe, Luke Raley, they all had 3. So, but Carroll is...
Story Ruiz has 24, Acuna has 18, he's second. And then Franco, Jazz have 14.
Carroll has the season 13 now.
With Mullins and Bobby Witt, Volpe, and Merrifield. Those guys.
Yes, so, I mean, the race isn't over, because if Story goes through a really rough patch, it's something to watch. Except here's the deal, though. Even if Story hits like 220, the minute that guy gets on base, he is looking to run. He is trying to run. He's trying to steal third. He's trying to steal second. He might try to steal home. He might steal home this year. And Carroll has become very passive, and some of these other teams, I feel like Mullins is becoming a little bit more passive, and I don't know if like they're reckless in the first month of the season and then managers want them to hone down. That's just not happening with this story. So a story might run away with this.
Ruiz is tied for 8th in hits for the season.
It's absurd.
And that's only hitting .286. So, yeah. I mean, Acuna is a guy to watch, because Acuna just keeps hitting and he keeps getting them. So if Ruiz hits that bad patch of like where he's just not getting on at all, Acuna could catch up, but like you said, at the rate that Ruiz is at, he would probably have to get hurt or sent down to not lead the leagues if he stays healthy the whole way through.
I think only way Acuna doesn't win the MVP at this point is if he gets hurt. Not sent down, but if he gets hurt. Some pitching performances. Kevin Gausman, 15 innings, struck out 14. He did give up 4 earned runs, but had a 2.4 ERA. He's been good. Kirby, strikeouts are coming up a little bit more. 13 2/3 with 12 strikeouts. He gave up 4 earned runs. So
I made my road to the show player, and I used George Kirby's windup because I pitched with him.
Kirby's?
Kirby's. I had Kirby's before. I had to get a cream for it. George Kirby's, I used his windup because I was so good with him, and it looks funny because I made my guy 6'8". 6'10", something like that, and throwing George Kirby's delivery doesn't really work for a giant, but it looks funny. So
I need to create my guy in MLB. I haven't played MLB the show in like a week. I'm kind of dying to. Lance Lynn, I think we talked about him. I feel like we talked to him last week too, but 13 innings, 13 strikeouts. He's put together a couple good starts. Framber, who's been a monster, 15 strikeouts. Michael Wacha, you want to talk about, he's moving out of spot starting. I'm using him in my Otno league and one other. 13 innings, 15 strikeouts, did not give up an earned run in that period of time with a 0.62 whip. He has been awesome. Merle has really been good as well. 12, 13 strikeouts, 3 earned runs. Jack Flaherty, 15 strikeouts in 11 innings. Did have 6 walks, though, so that's still part of his problem. Some singular performances. Michael Kopech went 8, struck out 10. Chris Bassitt, 7-7. Aaron Nola, 7 with 10 strikeouts. Boy, did he need that. Charlie Morton struck out 10 and 6 2/3. Braxton Garrett, I really think is like, something could happen with like Yuri coming up and everything, but like Braxton Garrett is someone that should be on everyone's radar. Also, if the Marlins look at trading him, I really like him. And Hunter Brown, your boy, 6 innings, 9 strikeouts, and the Tex Bogman sent me. He's like, this guy's been pretty good.
Carving him up. I mean, it was the A's, stands, but he was carving him up.
Carving him up, baby. All right, some of the most picked up players over on ESPN. Look at this. Nolan Gorman was 34.9% owned last week and is now 66% owned. What?
Why do I feel like you get mad every time you look at the ESPN most picked up?
It's
because you're in a bunch of 16-man leagues that everyone takes it so seriously. And then you look at this 10-man, half of the league is dead place. And then you get mad that Nolan Gorman's getting picked up. I mean, people just aren't playing there. They got rid of their podcasts and everything. So, I mean, really, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. They just don't care. Yeah, at some point.
You think more people, because it's always weird to play on like the league's version of fantasy sports, but do you think MLB.com or ESPN has more fantasy players?
I get what you're saying.
I got to be honest, I don't even know if MLB.com still does it.
I think way more people are still playing on ESPN than we think of, but ESPN does not cater to the product that there are probably so many people that just stop looking at their teams and playing, and there's publicly. I'll bet you the public leagues are so much bigger than any other platform, and that's what ruins it because people stop paying attention and stop caring.
What makes me even more mad than that first one for Gorman is Lourdes being well under 50% rostered before this week. What the hell?
33% up to 57. He was number three. Actually, Chris Morel was number three, 15% up to 45%. Those are the top three. Michael Wacha went from 9 to 30%. Tyler Wells, 34 to 55%. Those are your top five. Your bottom five, Bailey Ober, Isak Paredes, Dane Dunning, Josh Lowe. Josh Lowe was 54%. He's up to 68%. And Mitch Keller, 73 to 80. Mitch Keller is the most owned player on this entire list of people we're telling you about. And just to remind you, Nolan Gorman and Josh Lowe are both on this. They were both under 55% owned last week. They're still under 70% owned this week. ESPN is a wild world. Though the percentages, and I understand this, the percentages would look quite a bit different if you were contrasting it to like active leagues. Because I think the non-active leagues are what are screwing this up. You know, another thing I'll point out too, a lot of people industry-wise still use like things like ESPN to run mocks and stuff, and they don't play them out. I think a lot of people use ESPN as a platform because it's so big. It's not good, but I'm just saying.
What? Well, that's such a small percentage.
Used ESPN on a thing that we're doing for another company, and it's like no one would play on that.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, how many are we running hundreds of leagues? You and I delete our leagues before.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I feel like ESPN is like a playing ground for people to do stuff, but they don't actually like play it through. But yeah, you're right. Okay. It's like that. Maybe that's like 50 leagues or something like that. But it's just, I don't know. I still think it's weird. Like, it's so weird that ESPN is so outdated. And I'll never understand just kind of giving up on the product. Like, you know, like, okay, we just don't have a podcast and we like don't do the projections and we don't like do article. We just don't do
this because the Star Wars movies were bad. If the Star Wars movies were good, everyone would still be hired at Disney.
So. Oh, okay. It's because Quantumania didn't put up the big numbers that it needed. So 100%. Baseball's got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Thor Love and Thunder was terrible. That's why ESPN Fantasy Baseball is maybe it'll get better now that Guardians was good. We'll see.
Guardians was so good.
It was really good.
Yeah. It was such a good movie. Quantumania out on You can watch on Disney Plus now. Yeah, I'm waiting for
Go hate Guardians. It over there instead.
I go cry. I can go cry for I cried for half that movie, by the way. Just a baby. You know what it led me to do, by the way? The movie was sad. The whole movie was like sad, like animals are being like treated horribly, and it's like it's a sad movie. But you know what it made me do? I'm actually embarrassed. I've been dying to like get back into playing piano. And
oh my god! I thought you were gonna say that you went back to giving readings for dogs.
No, because the animals.
I was gonna be like, oh no! I may die of laughter right now.
Maybe I should do that. That should be. But I started. I'm learning to play Creep on the piano. I spent like an hour and a half doing that. It's very therapeutic. So
can't play the show against me. But
he's maybe I'll. It was midday. I told you my kid was playing the PlayStation.
So
the piano I bought for him. He was playing the PlayStation while I was playing. Yeah,
PlayStation you bought for your son. I'm using air quotes. Yeah, you know, it was my family's PlayStation, right? Yeah, yeah. This one's for
family piano. Maybe I'll regale you.
Don't
with
even
the
know where it is. Right,
playing here shortly. Oh, I was playing that.
I would much rather do that than play the show. So
listen to me play piano.
yeah. I've never heard Creep on the piano before. So, you know, I actually have. I'm pretty sure it was in Westworld, wasn't it? So, all those songs were in Westworld. So
I think you're right about that. All right. Over on CBS, a little bit of a more real take here. Check this out. The number one most picked up player. Michael Lorenzen was the number one picked up player. I believe it's because it's two starts this week. He also was slicing and dicing up the Reds, I think it was at one point, but he looked really good. He was getting some strikeouts and he was the most picked up player over the last week.
This is such a different list, by the way.
It is the most
different. This is unbelievably different.
Crazy. Jake Berger, that's someone we haven't talked about on this, from 20% to 53%. Liberatore from 26% to 56%. I think Dane Dunning is the only like retread here. He went from under 50% owned to over 77% owned, two starts. And Mark Vientos from 10% to 35%. That's the top five. The bottom five, or just the next five, is Brenton Doyle from 4% to 29%. James Paxton, now 67% owned. Bobby Miller, only 43% owned. Chris Morrell, now 90% owned. And Gavin Stone, up to 51% owned. A lot of two-start pitchers get the big boost. But my God, have we ever seen a week where you have seen almost a completely different list on two different
sites. Chris Morrell was the only guy on the
list.
Dane Dunning, you're right.
But you usually see like, you know, six of
this
the
is,
ten.
But this is where the divergence comes, right? Is like right around 6 to 8 weeks after the season starts, people start to jump ship. You know, it's after the NFL draft. They did this until they can start doing mock drafts for the NFL, I guess, some people. So I never understood that. I don't know why you get half in. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of what it seems like on the ESPN.
Do you believe in Jake Berger? Jake Berger is going bonkers, 10 homers, hitting .280. He's got 23 RBI. He has, from an underlying standpoint, top 6% XBA in the league, top 1% XSlug, top 2% XWOBA. His hard hit is 54.7%, which is top 6 in the league. And he's got an average exit velocity, the highest of a full season, or at least more than like very short sample size in his first year, 92.5 miles per hour on average. And so he is rushing the ball right now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
But nobody.
ITL.
But is this something that you believe in, that he's going to like have solidified himself? Because the roster right now, Jake Berger is the DH. Eloy is going to come back. Presumably, we've got to assume he's going to kind of take that over. If not, they would have to put him in right. Gavin Sheets would have to kick rocks and Berger would have to stay there. So that's the only way that he can stay going. I kind of think Jake Berger might be a super platoon.
Yeah, I believe in Jake Berger as like a decent hit power hitter, you know, that you can stash on your roster and hope he hits you some bombs. But other than that, no, he's never hit .280 at any level. .274 in AAA, well, I think back before his Achilles surgery. No, it was 2021 when he hit 274. That's his best batting average at any level. So, no, I don't believe 280 is going to stick around. But he can hit for power. So, I don't know. If you're rostering Jake Berger, that's great. He's hitting right now. But as soon as he's not hitting, he's a guy that I dump immediately. So, no, I don't really buy it.
Yeah, what I do wonder is if they're going to just play like the Rays, and this will be a platoon because you have Gavin Sheets and Berger. That Sheets goes up against righties, Berger goes up against lefties, which he's hitting a lot better, and they might, and Eloy might have to kind of move around, you know, because when Berger is in the lineup, Eloy might have to go out into the field, and then Berger's the DH, because I just don't see them playing Berger in the outfield. Or maybe Vaughn goes out there. I think he's bought himself more playing time. I think he can get into a platoon, and if he's put in the right spots, he could keep going. You guys asked this question like, hey, is Jake Berger for real? Like, you just pick him up and you play him and you ride it out. I don't personally think he is this dominant all season, but guess what? His underlying stats are better than his current performance. So those are usually indicators that, like, hey, maybe there might actually be even more than we're guessing. It's just hard for me to believe. End here, the poll. Well, we don't have to end it, but let's do a check-in on the poll. So we have, what did we put it out, like 20 minutes ago? There's over 200 votes. And you said Schwarber you thought would be 70% to 30%. I said low 55-45 with over 200 votes currently.
Last time I looked at it, it was 155 votes, and it was way closer to what you said.
58.5%